It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy back with you here as we roll on here on a Tuesday. Let's get the headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia miles in inventory like the Sportage, the Sorento, and the Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Dolphins are off today as they'll start getting ready for the Buffalo Bills at practice tomorrow. We'll hear a little bit from Mike McDaniel. We have a Dolphins caller, Marcos. Is he still there?
Yes, a seemed like a positive doll fan too from South Carolina. We had a George.
All right. This is George.
Yeah, how you guys doing? Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. How are you? Yeah, we hear you good.
I'm a diehard Dolphin fan. I used to live in Miami a long time ago before I moved up here. I've seen Marino, I've seen Shula, I've seen the good teams that Shula had. When is Mr. Ross, who's 80-something years old, gonna come to his senses and see that this regime is not going anywhere? We as Dolphin fans are just tired of it year after year. Not only for fans who live in Miami, but fans that live everywhere and nation all over. We are just fed up and tired. When is he gonna wake up and smell the coffee?
Man.
That this regime cannot win it.
Like, that's great. I'm curious, what would people like him to do?
I'm curious what he's going to do, to be honest with you.
But I'm just saying, like, they complain about him being loyal to a fault. And part of it is, if you look at the successful organizations, they've had patience. There's been years. Take it from me. There's been years where they wanted to run Mike Tomlin out of town. There's still some Steelers fans that want to run him out of town.
Yeah.
Patience. I don't know what the answer is. I don't. But everybody has an opinion on what Stephen Ross and the team and everybody should do. First, you have to do this. Evaluate what happened. Get to the root of that problem. And then make a decision. And to say that they shouldn't have gave Tua the money. Okay, you can say that. The numbers don't prove that. If you say, why don't we have a backup quarterback? I mean, come on, dude, because
that's a fair criticism.
Okay, it is, but you have a backup quarterback thinking he can play, hoping he never has to, then when he does is when you realize you don't have the right guy.
Understood, but like that's the evaluation of it, though, is like you have this guy and he looks at, dude, you just saw it. You know, Cleveland just did this with Jameis Winston because he was the fourth guy. What do you mean he was the fourth guy? Last year
they had the fourth guy.
What do you mean he's the fourth guy? I don't understand that.
Deshaun and two other quarterbacks played before he did.
Well, who else played before him?
You had Thompson.
He played this year?
Yeah. He started a couple of games.
He did? This year, or are you talking last year?
This year. And then they put another quarterback in when they swapped him out. And then they put Jameis in.
Well, Jameis was the most credentialed guy, though. Same thing happened with Joe Flacco last year.
But again, like, if you're calling your team's failings on the fact they don't have a backup quarterback, then you're no. Now, I will say this. If there's any complaint that I have of this, the current construct of this team is this. They're too old. You don't have any young talent. All of your young talent you couldn't afford because of all the trades you made bringing in all the old talent. And the people who aren't playing aren't your young talent. It's your old talent that you're paying a lot of money to.
Okay, just for the record, though, Dorian Thompson, like, he came in the game that Deshaun got hurt.
And then he started another game.
No, he didn't. Not this year. I just looked.
Okay.
He started before, but not this year. Remember, they went through more of those changes last year when they ended up with Flacco. And I'm just saying, with the Dolphins, that is a misevaluation. That's all.
That the guy they thought, because you're basing your opinion on the guy never playing.
Well, the thing that's just it's because everybody
and,
is like,
and he did play last year.
Skyler did not play last year.
That was two years ago.
Two years ago. He didn't play last year because Mike White was the backup.
Right.
But no, I think that's 100% a valid criticism for them.
On your backup quarterback?
Yeah, because
so let Leroy, me get you straight.
Leroy, the biggest critique on Tua, okay,
is he injury prone?
Is that he's injury prone, and you need to have that squared away. You do. They misfired on it. It's a miss, and that's their job.
Okay, that is a bad decision. That's it. You want to fire everybody for that?
Well, no, I think you want to fire everybody. I think people want to fire everybody because they're 2-5 right now, and I understand, and I
get that, okay, but you do realize you're going to have the same enthusiasm for the next coach
for sure. I mean, like, look,
and things might not go smoothly right away. How long are you going to keep having this cycle? Because while you're blaming the ownership and whatever. The cycle itself, keep turning the cycle over and the organization over and the people over. That is also a reason why you can't have any long-term success.
Yeah, but Chris Greer's been in the front office since 2000, dude.
Oh, okay.
He has. Like, and I'm not.
If you want to have a complaint, I told you what the complaint is. They're too old, and anytime you've drafted anybody good, you couldn't afford to keep them.
It's too old, and the guy has a huge flaw as a general manager, which is he doesn't give a rat's ass about signing injury-prone players.
Right.
And that's not even just a Tua thing. Like, he's just like, nah. And he always thinks, it's like, it's not going to bite us in the ass. It's like, okay, but it probably is. This is a very violent sport.
So my question to you, what would you have done differently?
For this year?
Yes.
I think that I didn't like the approach with the draft and then saying like, oh, we had this offensive line on lock. We're laughing at everybody.
Offensive line's not the problem, though.
Hold on, though. They went into this year and they had two issues that they were going to have. One is they had two star pass rushers injured. They had one that they could have had at a bargain in Andrew Van Ginkle.
Agreed.
Stupid.
Agreed.
Stupid agreed. Move.
We complained about that. We complained about that when it happened.
They ended up signing Shaq Barrett, who retired.
Right.
And thankfully, Emmanuel Ogba didn't want to go anywhere else. And he goes, I'll just wait. They'll come back. Right. Thankfully. But letting Van Ginks walk, oh my God, was that stupid.
Yeah, we said it at the time. Wait, O-line is the problem? O-line is not the problem. O-line is not the problem.
There were games where it was a problem. And the other thing is, there were games where it was a problem.
Yeah, sure. Like that, but that's
but the,
that's the, not like no, that's what, normal football.
Understood. But I would have liked them to go and get an offensive lineman that could play this year. Like, and that's, I don't know if Patrick Paul can play or not, but I know that a Dolphins team that just spent a lot of money on everybody would like to get some draft contributions like right away from somebody. And like Tampa drafted a kid who's playing right away. I would agree.
I would agree with that. In the last, well, I'm not going to count Noah Igbinoghu. Here's why. That was the third first round pick, right?
Yes.
So they took a flyer.
Took a flyer. Right?
Okay. And the other two actually, was that the Chris Wilkins?
Tua and Austin Jackson.
Tua and Austin Jackson. Still on the team.
Yep.
Okay. So, like, I do have questions about Cam Smith. Like, how long, you know, he was drafted in the second round.
Yeah, he was their first pick last year.
How long should it be before he's contributing?
I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know. Like, I tell you one thing. Like, it's really hard because they threw Chop Robinson in an awful situation. Because
he didn't have any time to develop or whatever. He had to start right away. But they knew this beforehand.
Right.
This is not – see –
But this is the thing.
And that's the point. That's the point that I would make is you knew we all summer, we had this argument. I'm like, I have questions about the rush outside. Oh, Jalen Phillips beating science. That was the argument we had instead of the real argument.
He did beat science, though.
Instead of the real argument, though, the real argument was, what are they going to do at pass rush? Chop Robinson. Yeah. Eventually he will get there. You can't afford that right now.
Yeah,
these are the decisions that I would have liked to have been made. Is that understanding where you are and not where you're going to be, because you're never going to get where you're going to be if you don't take care now. And when those two guys got hurt, the first guy I would have signed before the draft, before anything, is Andrew Van Ginkle.
100%.
So had an opportunity to kind of do something to accommodate your circumstances, and you didn't do it. You relied on whatever.
And the other thing is, like, what, like, was it like that Andrew didn't even get an offer for that? Like, how did you put more effort into signing Odell Beckham Jr.?
Correct.
Oh, can we have a meeting, Odell? Will you come back, please? Can we convince him? Oh, he's like, I don't need football. Oh, please, will you do football? I don't think I'm going to be ready. We won't tell anybody that you're not going to be ready. Bye, Van Ginkle. Und bye, Van Ginkle. Und todos. Enjoy Minnesota with the cold. Sorry.
But again, so, yes.
Sorry. You don't have to be so disgusted with me, Froggy.
It's just okay. You were making points. And what's the Van Ginkle?
What's enjoy snow? Yes.
Wouldn't it be some if he's not German?
What else would he be?
Potentially Asian from his HBO pass, his HBO name. You never know.
Didn't he go to Wisconsin?
He did go to Wisconsin.
So he's probably, if you're from the Midwest, it's possible you could be German.
That dude definitely got Lederhosen when he was in Germany last year.
He's Iowa. From Wisconsin, right?
Iowa.
Iowa! Woo! Dude, there's no German Iowans.
You don't know that.
Whoa. Is there?
I've been to Iowa. There ain't nothing in Iowa but corn. It goes corn, 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 University Stadium. Hotel, where we can stay.
Damien says he's Dutch.
Oh.
See?
Don't do it. Don't do it. You're trying to make yourself. Wait. He's trying to make himself right.
Loves the clogs.
That's interesting.
Cat for Life says he's Swedish.
Okay, everyone's just making things up now.
You know, Swedish TV was in the Heat locker room yesterday. They were interviewing Pelle Larsson.
Oh.
Jimmy Butler goes, "Come on, stop talking."
Okay. Chatty Patty's over here. Jeez.
So, like, regardless of all the other problems, right? I would say the glaring issue that I had before the season started, and I mentioned it all summer, the pass rush. We talked about it every, and you're like, don't worry about it. Jalen Phillips would be back.
I definitely thought that. I thought Bradley Chubb would be back by now too. I didn't know.
But okay. Thinking somebody's going to be back and actually having a plan are two different things.
I'm not the general manager. Why don't they think this out?
I know, but I'm just saying that.
Why does
here's the other thing. The defense hasn't been terrible.
It hasn't been, but, you know, they've taken on some awful quarterbacks.
Don't do that.
They did, dude. But dude, it's the truth.
We weren't doing that at the time.
But, dude, it's the truth.
We're looking at everything now.
I understand. But that's the truth, is that they've taken on some bad quarterbacks.
Okay. I mean, is it safe to say that if I could give you one do-over on the team, I know what would it be?
One do-over. I got to think about that. Let me take a break. I'll think that over. We'll hear a little bit from Mike McDaniel. He had a lot of words to say, as always. Back after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQM. Got a 4-pack of Heat tickets to win today to Heat Kings next Monday at the Kaseya Center. If you guys want to go, keep on listening. We will give that away. Leroy, can we get a weather update from DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm? YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultation 24/7. Call them at 866-954-MORE.
We got some showers yesterday, a couple of bypassing showers, nothing serious. It is, I say the winds are about 5 to 10 miles an hour. It is mostly cloudy, I would say, with sun peeking through every now and then. So that means look out for some couple of rain showers in later on in the day. And I would say it's about 84 degrees because it's been a little warmer the last few days, a little more humid.
How do you do, Froggy?
He is 100% correct. Currently, it is 83 degrees. Winds right now 10 to 15 miles per hour coming out of the east-northeast, though, with a 25% chance of rain.
Man, he's a golfer. Even though he's looking out my window. Pretty good. Pretty good. Tony says, we said that it's Tua time, but it's actually Tank for Cam time. I don't like this. I'm very torn by all this. You know.
Can I ask one more question, everybody?
I love Cam Ward.
Can I ask one more question? If everything stays the same and you get rid of Tua and bring in another quarterback, does that make things better?
Does he play every game?
Yes. But I can't promise you that. I'm just, you know. But he's not going to be injury prone.
Yes.
He's not going to come into the league. See,
I guess you can't promise me health. But I'm just saying, like.
So, we're saying that all these problems are basically on Tua.
They're not problems. Here's the thing that sucks about it, okay? Everybody who was apprehensive about giving the extension, there were plenty of people. I don't want to act like nobody was against giving the extension.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest concern was head health. And the thing that you were frustrated with and that we became frustrated with is that he is sitting here telling you that for 5 weeks he was fine, but the Dolphins couldn't afford to have him out there and have a Cincinnati situation happen again, which he said, he goes, I feel like this is all drawn back to Cincinnati. And what's going to happen the next time? If there is a next time, is he allowed to play when he feels fine? Or do we always have to go down for a month? Like what's, and I just don't know how do you live life like that as a franchise?
Here's how you have to do it. If you're healthy, you play. If you're not, you don't.
But they've already
and people as simple as that.
But they've okay? already. But they've already bucked did, against that, Leroy.
They did the look good thing.
And what's and, this? But they're gonna. But here's the thing. And I get what you're saying because I'm not disagreeing with you. But we've already seen what they do because they had so much criticism the first time that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
it's always going to go to look good. And how do you operate normally like that? Because it's always going to deter. Tua's sitting here telling you angrily at reporters last week, right, he's fine. I felt fine. I've been fine.
I knew he was okay when they allowed him to travel.
Right.
Because if you have a concussion and you have symptoms of a concussion, the last thing they want you to do is travel across in a plane because of the pressure.
Sure.
So I get the dilemma. I get it. I understand it. But the fact of the matter is, if you're healthy and you want to play, you should be able to play, until which case you are not cleared to play. And everybody needs to have that attitude, because what ends up happening is situations like this. And now, like, look, I can understand if you say he's clear for play, we're going to give him one more week, right? I understand that. That happened to me. But to go 4 weeks when you didn't have to, for whatever reason, like, you're putting yourself in a bad spot. Because, like you said, the next time, what, the season?
Right.
You've already, like, so.
The precedent is set.
From the beginning, I have said, let the professionals and the doctors tell you when Tua is healthy. Don't you try to make decisions based on what looks or feels good.
Let's hear from Mike McDaniel. He was asked about meeting with Stephen Ross after the loss. And this is what he said Stephen Ross's message was to him. Here was Mike McDaniel.
He's like every fan and coach. My knee jerk is to, apologize for the result, regardless of, you know, how the game and my position within it go. And he's very, he knows how the people that he's hired, that he really believes in. And so he's very supportive. That was very similar to what last night was. I think he's also supremely competitive, so he doesn't like to lose, but he's kind of, we're definitely aligned in that it's the process and evaluating that.
You smell that? Smell that? Something's burning. Smells like hot seat.
You think?
You smell that, Marcos?
Why? So
smells like jokey jokes and snacks.
Can I? Why would Mike McDaniel be on the hot seat?
Just smells like it, dude.
No, but why?
Why? 2-5.
Oh, so
hasn't won a big game.
Here's what I
ever.
He's been a coach for 2.5 years.
Long winded.
He's been a head coach for 2.5 years. Relax. But
always attending games.
Here's what I would say about that. Is that if you can't look at all the circumstances in which you are 2-7 and you only put it on the coach, then you're going to be switching coaches a lot, because there are going to be circumstances that a coach has no control over. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, and, this owner has switched coaches a lot.
Right.
Tell
okay,
us, Zeus.
Like, I'm done giving. Like, I'm trying to be like realistic about it, but clearly, I'm dealing with people that don't. I've seen this cycle. I'm telling you, it doesn't turn around quickly.
Let me ask you this.
It doesn't.
Let's just say Stephen Ross got his feet up on the couch, you know,
mm-hmm.
perusing, he's surfing channels, and he puts on Rat McAfee. Mm-hmm. And Rat McAfee has on Bill Belichick. And he goes, I can get him if I want. Like, he's just thinking to himself. You don't think that crosses his mind?
I mean, I don't. If you change,
I don't want it.
If you change quarterbacks, do you have to change coach?
I don't know. I guess that's up to Belichick. You gotta get the thoughts of him. But I'm just asking Bill. You know, like we've seen him go after the big star before, the big star coach.
Uh-huh.
He's done this multiple times. He tried to fly across for Harbaugh. He got caught tampering for Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
He's in this situation now. Like, you don't think there's a chance that he's like channel surfing and he's thinking to himself, man, haven't gotten to Waddle since last October. And then he's thinking to himself, Belichick.
Now,
I don't want Bill Belichick. I just want to be clear to the fans out there. I'm just asking, do you think he thinks that?
No.
Okay.
There has to be, throughout this whole operation, there has to be a voice of reason. So that means that somebody has to sit down and talk to Stephen Ross and the coach. Why are we here? And you have to evaluate those answers, whatever they think those reasons are. Okay. First of all, in the last, you can go back a year. I've never seen a team with more injuries with players they paid a lot of money to.
Yep.
So that limits who you can bring in. Then a guy comes back who you're not paying a boatload of money, but he is a pivotal part of the defense and gets hurt again. So now you're searching again. So, I try to think of it this way, and this is how I look at it. The same question I asked you about, too. With all the injuries that have gone on this team, if I change the coach, would it have mattered?
This year, I would say no. I don't think it's as much on the coach.
So saying I want to fire a coach, when as of right now, based on who has been playing the first seven games and who's been out and who's been injured, saying I'm going to change the coach, you're not making yourself any better because you don't know.
Rich people like to do things that just make them feel better, on a whim.
Okay, but I'm trying to stay in reality here. Because fan owners do things because they got a lot of money and they think differently.
Yes.
But fans just think change is better. And I'm saying if there's another coach that you could have had in the first seven games, like, what coach would you have had?
Well, I guess it looks like that. But Leroy, the way we could look at it, though, is this is a team that had questions last year but had a good record, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up falling apart, yes, in part because of injuries, but they didn't really do anything to address that in the offseason. They just kind of said, run it back, baby.
Agreed.
And it's only gotten worse. The roster's gotten worse. The injuries have gotten worse. So at what point do you think Lady Luck's going to be on my side and all injuries and health are going to be in the right spot? Or is it just, this is what this roster is? It's brittle, it's not built for it, and it doesn't work, because it hasn't felt like it's worked since the middle of last year, not just this year.
That's when injuries started. Yes.
So when do you have that assessment? Like, when do you really take stock of that? I don't know.
At some point you do, but you also have to, like, you also have to identify what part of this would be different with other people and what part of this wouldn't be when you make changes.
Yeah, I just feel like once we do that, like, the philosophy of the roster building does have to get a little different, doesn't it?
Yeah, but then if you do that, you know you're going to take a big hit and it's going to be a couple of years because you're not going to be able to necessarily just dump money and bring new money in. You're going to have all these hits. So now you're talking about another maybe 2 or 3 year process.
Right.
And let's keep in mind, you've had a winning record the last 3 years.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I'm just, that's reality. So if I say all the things that you're saying are accurate and we make the changes and make these changes and try to turn over the roster, are you willing to wait another 3 years?
Well, here's what I don't want to do. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not moving the goalposts on this season. So let's just say the Dolphins do have a turnaround.
Yeah.
Let's say they get it to 9-8. Let's say they get it to 10-7. Let's say they just run it off. and they still get blasted in the first round, mm-hmm. I'm not going back retroactive and saying, oh, you guys fixed your record from the start of the season. What a great run. Like, you're not the 2016 Heat where I'm going to take you ended up 41-41. No, you still had the expectations of finally winning a playoff game this year.
The record's the record. So then why, if the record is the record, why are we making or want to make all these changes before the season's over with?
I'm just telling you.
If they run out the season and don't win a playoff game, you're going to treat the record like the record. Well, that works both ways. It's 2-7. Lee, why don't you say, let's just see what the record is at the end of the year.
I'm just saying, even if it's most optimistic, you still need, like, at the point of this, we do need to know, are the Dolphins ever going to contend with this core?
Yes.
Because.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And we don't know. And I feel like, you know, if they walk in and they get stone cold stunnered on Sunday by the Bills yet again.
Here you go. Here, I love this. This is the difference between a fan and reality. What the hell is Leroy talking about? Sometimes you got to just cut bait. McDaniel cannot coach, period. It's the same mistakes over and over. We have to wait anyway because this team is not built right. But if you just cut bait, you have to realize the financial hit that you're going to take that could destroy you for the next 3 or 4 years or 2 or 3 years. That also has to come in effect. So even though you may be turning the team over, you may hold on to players because you don't want to take that hit. So that has to be considered. You can't just see fans think if a player's not playing well and you just gave him money, just cut him, just trade him. No, even if you trade a player, you take a big financial hit. So now you could have 70, you could be who, you could be the Denver Broncos.
Yep.
And just eat $70 million, but you've paid 3 or 4 guys 30 plus million. So how much money would you eat? Half of your salary cap? You can't just do that.
He did just sell like 10% of the Dolphins.
It has nothing to do with the team. It's a salary cap sport.
I don't believe that.
Okay. See, like
salary caps fugazi.
You have the conversation with them. I'm so bleeping done because I'm speaking reality. You're speaking nonsense, and these clowns aren't smart enough to realize it. So to hell with all of you.
Take a break.
No, I'm serious. I'm done. I'm not saying another bleeping Dolphins thing because you guys are morons, all of you.
Fair.
We'll take a break. The damage is done, my friend. Who's next?
The damage done.
Understand what's JPEG talking about in the chat? People and their feelings.
I don't care. Get over
Get over it. Let's get to our favorite Tuesday game. The damage is done, my friend. I'll go first. You know who's broadcasting this Sunday for the Dolphins game?
Who?
Kevin Harlan.
Ooh.
But
oh, hold on.
Kind of feels like the damage is done, my friend.
Oh, God.
I don't feel like we even deserve Kevin Harlan at this point, dude. Like, the Harlan experience, the Harlan Dolphins experience is something sacred and holy. And I just don't want to embarrass him. You know, I don't want to embarrass ourselves in front of him.
Out of curiosity.
Come on.
You think maybe this was done before the season?
No, they do like a couple weeks in advance.
Okay. They probably thought Tua's going to be back.
Sometimes, you know, Romo has to decide who he wants to do. You know, I don't know if Romo's got his chance to drool over Josh Allen this year. Oh, Josh Allen.
Between that and punting, you got.
That's good.
I can't wait till the inevitable Monday Night Football game. They're going to throw McAfee on there. And it's, you know, they'll throw to the booth.
What a great throw by Aaron.
Went to the other team, Pat.
But it was accurate to the other team. Punting.
Wow.
What do you got for damages done, Leroy?
I'm going back to this.
Oh, okay.
I'm going back to this. Did you see Stevenson issued an apology?
Yeah.
Tyreek Stevenson?
Tyreek Stevenson.
Oh, no. What did he say?
No, he just said, I'm sorry. I, you know, the like all the stuff we already knew, right? And so, like, it's like, no, 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 no. You just eat it. Just eat it. Say you're sorry,
done, my friend.
If you had been sorry 5 minutes ago, we wouldn't have lost. If I'm a Chicago fan, damage is done. Damage is done. Like, you can say you're sorry, but that doesn't hurt. It doesn't make it hurt any less. I had that experience.
Damage is done.
With a field goal kicker. I didn't blame him, but it hurt.
But, like, what if he didn't apologize? What if he was just like, man, happens, and then moves on?
I don't ever think he I don't think he had to.
Yeah. I think he's
like, because you miss a field goal? Like, him missing a field goal and having a bad play is different than what Tyreek Stevenson did.
Yeah, true.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. He wasn't like doing Hulk Hogan to the crowd before he kicked.
Right. He's shushing the crowd. Right? Meanwhile, just to his left, there's being football played. Yes.
It's right up there with the late Vontae Davis shushing his own crowd.
Yeah,
but that was before he had to talk to his grandma.
It was. Okay. Marcos?
Guys, I'm going to present some numbers to you before we get out of here.
All right.
This is Rudy Gobert's stat line right now. 10.3 points per game thus far, 12.3 rebounds. Pretty good. Domantas Sabonis, 23 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. Bam Adebayo, 11 points, 8.7 rebounds thus far. And I think, no. I think a certain visit from a huge Dwayne Wade fan and all this little extra apostrophe activity going on may be clouding the judgment.
No, can I tell you this?
Yeah.
I got lost in the sauce too.
Oh, did you?
But let me tell you what we're failing to realize.
Uh-huh.
Those numbers from those guys are paint numbers. Guys that play in the paint. Bam has been more on the perimeter this year.
Well, he's 0-6 from 3, though.
He has it in a 3. And it was actually noticeable yesterday, Leroy. He's passing up shots too.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. And you know what it looks like? It looks like he doesn't know what his role is.
No, it looks like love is on his brain and he can't get his head out of his heart. He needs to focus on the basketball. Oh, my name is Bam and I'm in love. Watch you score a basket, dude.
Damage is
done. It's not their first couple months dating.
I'm telling you, when you see, next time you watch a game.
Soft, dude.
Watch, next time you watch a
game. Calm down.
Next time you watch a game.
Romeo over here.
Watch Bam.
Yeah, I will.
He is playing in a position or playing in a area of the court that he hasn't played in previous years. Froggy, he's always on the perimeter.
Well, here's the other thing, though, Leroy, is on the other end, like, he has to still play center. Like, we've been talking about this idea. And look, Nikola Jovic, he was a little squirrely yesterday. He's getting roasty toasty by Tobias. I will say, though, he got double clotheslined and the referees didn't call it. And I was like, he was like looking at, like, in disbelief. He goes, what was that? I just got mauled. Sorry, youngin. Move to the other side of the court. But, like, dude, Bam has to sit there because he's the only, he's the only big. And he's like, all right, I guess I got to bang with this just triceratops and Isaiah Stewart, who doesn't even try to score the basketball. He just throws elbows. And Jalen Duren's really impressive for a 20-year-old. The kid jumps all over the place.
Oh, my goodness.
Gets tipped back. I don't really understand why that Pistons team is so horrid, but they are. Like, Cade Cunningham, I watch him, and I'm like, this kid is really, really talented every time I watch him live. Why does this team suck so bad?
I saw him take 5 shots, and he never hit the rim.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Like, it was just all net.
It's a weird thing.
So I think,
but I will say on the offensive end, Bam, love you. I can't have Thomas Bryant out here more confident in his 3-point shot than you, because Thomas Bryant was doing step back threes.
Put him up.
He's like, what? I get to be on the 3-point line and Jimmy's going to give him the ball. And he's going to put those things up. Yeah. You can't have that. It's not acceptable.
Here, question. I'm going to say this. I think Bam would be more comfortable with Khalil in the game.
I know.
Because his role becomes more definitive.
Dude, tell you what, speaking the gospel right now, but the coach
I've been saying it. Look,
but the coach isn't going to listen.
It's weird that if there's one guy that knew what his responsibility was the last 3 years, it was Bam. Everybody else was kind of meandering around the offense. But now that Bam is more outside, it's almost like Bam's the only player on the court that has to cross match.
This is Bam. I'm going to tell you something right now. Okay, I'm up, dude. This is why they trick you with all this captain stuff. Okay, because they want you to do the unselfish thing. Okay, and they want you to be the good soldier, and they want you to do
no. Stuff. We offer that. Get yours.
That's why they're tricking you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Spo's games. Okay. It's mental jujitsu he's pulling on you right now.
You would know.
I'm telling you.
You would know.
He's the torchbearer of the culture.
Semantic samurai.
Get your ass out.
Listen to that. You owe Bruce Lee of semantics.
This is what I need you to do, Bam. Okay. Tomorrow night, we got to outshoot Cat. Let's go. Shot for shot.
I mean, he can try. He's a lover boy over there. He's going to be too focused on what is he going to get. What matching Halloween costume is he going to get?
They've been in love for, it seems to be multiple years.
Well, maybe I can be Scooby.
They've only been semi-flirtatious public for a couple of months.
Sick of that, dude.
What do you mean, dude? It's a wonderful story.
Come on. Sabonis had a triple-double the other day. I'm just saying. Sabonis had a triple double the other day.
Probably gave up a triple double too.
No way. He's
turnstile, dude.
Averaging a double double.
De'Aaron Fox can't wait to leave his ass. Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, Froggy. Come Monday night.
Yeah.
When Bam Adebayo stuffs Sabonis in a locker like he does every time they face.
Yeah.
I want you to get on this show. I want you to apologize.
You know what? If he does it, I will apologize. But he may be picking out his matching onesies for the Christmas party he has in a couple months because him and Ada are practicing for Friendsgiving or something like that.
Why can't they just have lovely couples things that no people do?
Just come on, bro. You can be a lover boy all you want. I need you to put the ball in the basket. Very simple.
Take a break. You're addicted to gambling. You're addicted to gambling.
Just come on, it was a parlay, man. Come on.